Well, well, Christopher, it is a mere few days later, and we now have Stunt Granny Audio 401.
That's a big responsibility here, giving it that title.
It was one of those things that I may try to institute as a fallback plan when Ken cannot record Thursday edition shows to get something else up there. But this one was planned in advance since Ken is on spring break with his daughter, so there was definitely not going to be an OPA this week. We're here, and it's kind of funny. We had an idea when I told you about this, and that Pendo. There's bigger news today, and a possibility that WWE buy.
Yeah, that yesterday it was first reported by Ryan Sant in Pro Wrestling Sheet, and then confirmed by Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer. Because who really trusts Ryan Sant? Sorry, don't sue us, Ryan.
Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about that.
Yeah, just interesting news. I mean, they've been in discussions before. That was more regarding the tape library, although, ROH management at Sinclair Broadcasting still trying to keep it, publicly say that it's only about licensing of footage when the story's out. Joey wants to buy the whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel.
I guess it's another one of those things that, I think we've said it before, where the WWE just has a lot of time to fill, and to have a completely different roster, I guess I don't know how they'd handle it, but, I mean, if they pretty much leave it be as something of, its own entity, I guess I'm not surprised. I don't know why else you'd get it if you didn't want it to kind of be different than what you're already presenting.
Right, yeah. I think the plan is to run separately, although I actually would hope that WWE people get in there that, they do a massive overhaul of that entire TV production.
Oh.
I mean, that's why I'm not, anyway, thinking, oh my god, WWE's trying to take over the world and blah 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 blah, this is terrible. It's like Sinclair Broadcasting technically is worth more than WWE. They're a giant conglomerate.
Right.
But they've invested nothing into this ROH product, basically. It's just there for late night TV ratings.
I haven't seen really any change whatsoever, because that's when I started watching ROH. I wasn't really ever a DVD guy. I feel like they were on some other station prior to Sinclair that I did not get.
Yeah, Mark Cuban's HDNet, that's now Access. Which is where New Japan is. Yeah.
Okay,
we both have the same cable company. Yeah. It used to be on there, but now no longer. It left a long, long time. I remember watching a month worth of ROH on HDNet episodes before WoW canned HDNet. Sinclair's owned it for over 5 years now.
Yeah,
the last two television episodes I've watched, the show looks worse. It sounds worse. I guess that has a lot to do with this. The leaving of Kevin Kelly. And Steve Corino.
Oh,
and Daniel McGinnis. But, the show just looks more public access than ever. And that there is no excuse for that. And, I guess we'll double this and do a little bit of a rant on this and ROH television. Because, once again, there are two very important title changes in the last 2 or 3 weeks of Ring of Honor. still not reflected on their television.
Oh.
That is an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a better job of trying to stay up to date by mentioning stuff like that on TV. But it's still not enough in this day and age to wait that long to have a title change on TV.
Right, yeah, so once again, I'm probably going against the grain of, of the internet wrestling community here when I'm saying, you know what, I'm rooting for WWE in this one. ROH has already been sold to a conglomerate, so it's no longer the little engine that could. So.
Oh. Yeah, even though they run in small venues and still kind of run on that type of a budget, it shouldn't be, at least.
It shouldn't be this. The show shouldn't look the way that they look. They shouldn't sound the way that they sound.
They should have better. I mean, the lighting just for the ring itself is terrible. Like, you can tell, like, I guess it could be a choice, but I always feel like the WWE's just had the bright arenas.
Yeah.
No matter what the era.
That's what people are used to. I mean, the style for decades before WWE changed the way wrestling television was done was lone spotlight over the ring, the rest of the arena, the stands dark, blacked out. That was the way it largely was, but two or maybe even three generations of wrestling fans have grown up now with the WWE style of production. So no, it is inexcusable now. And in that way, you can't go back.
Well, and I guess that's the other thing about it, is that it's kind of half-assed with ROH, too, where you can see the crowd when they pull the shots out a little bit further, and they're just kind of dim and not, like they're not blacked out like they used to be. Like, and I think part of it, too, is that I feel like in some of those older wrestling shows, the guardrail was back a little bit further.
Yeah.
So you had a little more space in there to play with so that you could drop down a dark area a little bit easier, in my opinion. But now, especially with the difference in technology from those times to now is a lot different. And it's just the cameras are better, so they're naturally just going to pick up more the cameras back then.
Right.
You know, they were maybe a little more forgiving in that department.
Yeah. But yeah, this is it will be interesting to see if this all comes to pass. I mean, there are talents in our Ring of Honor that, you know, essentially are dual contracted with, or, you know, dual, you know, promotion with New Japan. The Young Bucks most notably have a pretty much exclusive deal with ROH and New Japan.
Right.
And you know, other talents, you know, do work both shows. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those talents if this does come to pass.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about those types of situations. Although I think we brought it. This is another thing we brought up, or some combination of us brought up. Actually, having interpromotional matches at some juncture, you know, because in some ways, I don't consider I guess there aren't a lot of fresh matchups. There are some fresh matchups in ROH, but, like, most of the older talent in general from ROH has already moved to the WWE.
Right, yeah, I mean,
I guess it's going to be interesting what
happened with some of these people. I mean, Adam Cole is so more than ready he actually said it. He said it when he was asked on the Q&A portion of his appearance, was with Steve Austin that, you know, he wants to go to NXT. He wants to put in his time there. So, you know, he is, you know, beyond ready at this point. And
no.
Who's to say that if he buys ROH, they need stars in ROH. So it's like, does he get stuck there for any more amount of time? You know, WWE's not buying, wouldn't be buying Ring of Honor to give everyone who wrestles there a pay raise. Maybe give them at least, you know, something of a, maybe, well, maybe give them something to make it worth their while, not to want to work elsewhere, but, you know, they're not looking to break the bank here for talent, to staff an ROH product.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't really be shucking out that much money for any of the, well, for a majority of that roster, at the current moment anyway. Because outside of Adam Cole, like, I still love Jay Briscoe. he's super enjoyable, and Mark's actually pretty good for the most part. The in-ring part of his gimmick is a little goofy. And I'm trying to think of, like, some of the other bigger guys, because did Kyle O'Reilly end up actually signing with the WWE?
That's a weird one. He has not. He is kind of out there in limbo. He's taken indie dates, but not signed anywhere as of yet.
And not to say that, honestly, like, if I'm going with the three names that we've mentioned already, he is definitely three. He might be further down. I mean, I really like Dalton Castle has an awesome presentation, and he certainly has some background in amateur wrestling, which shows off in his in-ring work.
Yeah. Dalton Castle's very good. I'm not sure exactly what WWE will make of the whole act, but if ROH is going to remain, you know, largely untouched, maybe it won't be as big of an issue. I mean, and I'm sorry, we know nothing about how this will be structured. We're just kind of spitballing, you know.
Yeah, well, some scenarios
yeah. Here. You know, whether it's, you know, it's the tiered structure, whether it's strictly, you know, programming for the network that they want, in addition to the whatever promotions they grab, the UK promotions they've been in negotiations with for a while, with their UK championship, you know, talent. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and if they, you know, put all these shows on the network, and, you know, build a big show. So it's that content monster that needs to be filled, and it's not going to be like an official, like, okay, you start in, you know, whatever British promotion,
no.
Then you go to ROH, then you go to NXT, then you finally make it to the main roster. I'm not sure if it's going to be anything along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, like you said, it's really early, so who knows what's really going to come of the whole thing. And I thought it was interesting, too, in that original reporting was that they mentioned how, you know, negotiations fell through for the WWE for getting the tape library from TNA/Impact Wrestling. Last year too, so I mean, something like that's always possible. I mean, maybe it does just stay truly independent, I suppose, or at least independent on Sinclair Broadcasting.
Right? Yeah, it could very well. It could very well be a team. Just end up, you know, Sinclair could say no to, you know, selling the whole storefront, but they might sell some old inventory. You know, ROH has not, they really haven't gotten their, you know, they've been, you know, they do, you know, crazy sales for their old DVD stock. They really haven't done a lot with their ringside membership on-demand service for old shows. So if you can sell off, you know, you know, the stuff that WWE would want, starring the current stars of WWE, but you know, maybe leave yourself a little bit of, you know, footage to use for yourself, for your own history. You know, idea like that could work out without selling the whole thing. So once again, you know, they're in talks. The cat's out of the bag there, but it's just you know, a matter of how far along these talks get, and, you know, how much money WWE's willing to offer here. Once again, I don't think that's it's in player. So they're not necessarily married to the idea of having a wrestling company that just is just 1 hour a week on their schedule that they could throw. And an episode, they could throw an old episode of some old TV show, you know.
Yeah,
in that slot.
You said, it's not exactly like they prioritize it because I believe the times, because I know that it's on two different stations for me since Sinclair owns both Fox and ABC in town here.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I tape it only on Fox and not on ABC. And, but it tapes either at like 5 p.m. on Saturday, I think, which is not exactly an ideal time slot, or midnight Monday. So, I mean, it's not exactly like they're putting them on prime time or anything like that. Like, I mean, it's just, like you said, it's just thrown in there.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, in Detroit market, the show has moved from 2 to 3 to 4 and back all the way around. It is so not a priority. I mean, Sinclair has no interest in growing this thing, you know, and it's, you know, it does maybe better than average ratings for the time slot it's in, but you know, they're not able to sell better, good quality ads, or there's nothing really, it's not that overwhelming of a number. Maybe they are willing to sell.
Piece of information that was reported by Pro Wrestling Sheet there was about some negotiations, and one that I would have to say is fairly unsurprising, which is that the Hardys actually have a deal in front of them from the WWE.
It's believed that, you know, once they're through with Ring of Honor on after the show on April 1st, where they face the Young Bucks in a ladder match, you know, they'll drop the titles there, the Takara Taxi titles back there, and you know, be back on WWE TV anytime between WrestleMania, Raw the next night, or SmackDown 2 nights later, depending on what brand they're going to be part of. Yeah, it's not surprising. There's two ways to look at it. You know, that the Hardys are going to win their legal battle with TNA and take control of the Broken Hardys gimmick once and for all and bring it to WWE, or they're going to lose, so the best course of action for them to make a lot of money in a short period of time is, you know, a Hardy Boys with a Z, you know, nostalgia running WWE.
That part's kind of interesting. Just because I think that there's enough knowledge, obviously, even on the WWE's part, of how much this gimmick has taken off.
Oh yeah. Oh, WWE is. Yeah, I think they want the gimmick. I do think that at least enough key people in charge. I'm sure Vince McMahon hasn't seen any of it. I'm positive of that. But I'm sure
right.
Enough key people in charge have seen it. They, you know, their wrestlers on Twitter quote, you know, delete, and it's OVA all the time, you know, especially over last summer when it was really, really hot. So, I mean, yeah, the key people are aware, and
right.
They know what it is, and they probably have their own ideas for how they can utilize this and grow this thing, and I think that, yeah, it'd be a lot of fun to see where they go with it.
Yeah, it'll be, yeah, I guess that'll be interesting. Like, it was really, as soon as they left TNA, it was pretty inevitable. I mean, they had come up, and I mean, it's just such a stroke of brilliance to end your campaign on one show, that like the shittiest of them all. To go, we're going to collect the tag team titles from all the universe. Is it universe?
Yeah, I mean, I think they still hold like 5 different promotions tag team titles at this point. Maybe 6 now, including Ring of Honor. And maybe 6 also including the TNA belts, but I still don't think they've given back yet.
We'll give you these back, just give us the characters. Oh man, you know, oh, yeah. The WWE, even if the Hardys end up losing that battle somehow, the WWE will figure something out.
Yeah, they'll figure something. Yeah, and they could always just do bring the old Hardy boys back, or you know, do some derivative of it that they can't get sued for, and they can certainly outlast TNA in a court, TNA in a court battle. I mean, goodness sakes, look at how cheap the show TNA's being run at this point.
That was kind of another funny little story that I saw. I kind of laughed at the whole TNA signing an agreement with AAA in Mexico. I still don't have any faith in these people. Since we are recording this on a Thursday, I did decide to tape Impact. And I get to see a crazy woman in a bridal dress still. I can't even remember what her name is. Laurel.
Laurel Van Ness, yeah. I mean, okay, that's amusing that she's still wearing the wedding dress. That she's still crazy and depressed about being left at the altar. I will give them props for that.
Oh, man. So... yeah, I think we talked about this last week, that the people that they put in charge, even if they may make the product marginally better, it's still going to be recycled ideas.
I saw something on YouTube tonight that, in tonight's episode, that I did not watch. They brought back the character Suicide.
Oh.
I'm just like, really? You didn't get enough trouble naming a character that years ago. It never really took off. You had about 5 different people under that mask at various points. Nobody ever cared. You know, I know Christopher Daniels wore it for a little while. I think it was T.J. Perkins who was Suicide, you know, most
yeah.
of the time. But still,
yeah.
No one ever cared, and it never got over. And this is your making TNA, making Impact great again.
And bring
Suicide.
Well, yeah, I saw him, I saw that they brought back Matt Morgan. I was like,
how many times does that guy have he's the psycho Sid of the 2000s. I mean, the guy who looks like a million bucks, but there's no substance that lasts beyond, well, just look at him.
Yeah, and I guess the funny thing is with him, like, just because he's tall and lean, I don't think about that much. Like, Sid was monstrous.
Oh, yes. Sid absolutely was. Sid, I always got Sid. I mean, I got Sid until I was a little older, until I could see how, you know, the lack of ring talent and how easily he got flustered in interviews and, you know, the infamous, I am twice the man that you are, and I have half the brain that you do promo.
Oh.
You know, stuff like that, but yeah, Matt Morgan never even showed that, you know.
Yeah, and I was trying, because they just showed them who they, another group, the LAX. They brought them back. And it's just like, okay, great. Like, I like Homicide, but I guess I don't care anymore.
Yeah, no. I mean, I guess maybe you could do this in today's political climate and an angry Mexican group. Maybe it could work, but not for these idiots. Not for these hacks. I mean, you really... and I don't even know where this is going to go now, because TNA has now signed a deal with AAA. So they might be screwing over Conan there, because Conan left AAA and started his own group. So who's to say by the time the next set of tapings roll around that Conan's going to stick around here? LAX definitely had its time. They were the time, and it was one of the hotter acts of the world. It really was. I mean, they really got something. Conan was just on fire. Hernandez was excellent. You know, as a guy who, you know, was a heavy in a tag team until he was exposed. You know, as a single later,
right.
Homicide was pretty much at his peak at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, they had a good run, but it's just like at this point. I don't really care. So that's not the way to kind of pull people back in. And there is some random 6-man tag match right now involving Mahabali Shira. So
we lost the Hardys, but we kept Mahabali Shira and his. Whatever the heck it is, the bounce, the shimmy, the shake, whatever the heck. I think it changed names five or six times too.
And this all started talking about the Hardys signing with the WWE somehow.
and
their characters. So yeah.
Granny was built on TNA bashing.
Oh, yes it was. So
we're sticking true to form here.
They've been around almost the entire time that we've been around. Actually slightly longer.
TNA's been around since 2002.
Yeah, they have a couple years on Stunt Granny. But not a whole lot.
15 years of this shit. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And what I'm seeing now out of some of these fresh faces is not
the guys who work cheap now. This is where we're at.
And I guess that's the thing, like at least with ROH, I always feel like I get a good wrestling product at least. Like the sets and everything are just like homemade isn't the right word. Like, I mean, you can tell that they actually film segments at the chicken farm in Delaware with the Briscoes. Yeah.
Well, that's just authenticity right there. I have no problem. I mean, some of the best stuff that ROH has ever done was filmed on that chicken farm. Including the one where they filmed after an accident where about 50 chickens were killed and had to be put to waste. we got 50 dead chickens here. I'll never forget that one. And so, yeah, I mean, once again, there's you can have a little grayness to your product, a little bit of, you know, once again, WWE's probably too overproduced. You know, you could use some grayness, and yeah, it's not stuff like that I have a problem with.
And why did I go back to... Oh, and I was going to mention, because I really liked, and speaking of Jay Briscoe again, because I really liked the Jay Briscoe-Jay White match this week. Like,
that was really good. I really liked that match a lot. I will say that, yeah.
Because, and I guess that's the thing that maybe I was trying to get to, is that ROH brings in a younger talent like a Jay White, and you're just like, oh, okay, I see where they have potential, or the guy's even really good already. And with the the people that TNA brings in most of the time, just like, really?
Yeah, there is just no... It's true that there really is not a lot of quality control there, and not a lot of, you know, really quality scouting going on at all. It's at this point, it is just, you know, who's going to work for cheap. Yeah. And that's no way to run a wrestling business. I mean, the problems I got with ROH, I mean, the ROH product right now is absolutely far superior to TNA. It's just, I don't know if there's anything I compared TNA to, except I don't even know if I could, right now where TNA's at, I don't even know if I could compare it to WCW at the end. There's always somebody still had talent.
Well, and like you said, production-wise, too, it was still good, even if the writing was a complete and utter train wreck. You know, I never felt like I was watching some Z-grade programming. Like, it still looked nice. So, yeah, I guess... Yeah, I mean, I guess we've hit all of these shows now. And it was kind of funny. Part of the reason we did hit these shows is our original plan was to talk about 205 Live and NXT. But there really wasn't that much to talk about from either of those.
No, not really. I mean, once again, the same complaints about the whole presentation of 205 Live still exist, and the vast majority of them will be resolved by just taping this thing earlier in the night, so you don't have a dead, you're not in front of a dead crowd, and a crowd that's, you see it right behind the announce desk, the mass exodus of fans from the floor. That's just a horrible look. There's just no other way around it.
Well, and it's kind of funny too, because at least this week, they were just putting together the desk again.
Yeah.
Because Corey Graves and Tom Phillips. Oh, and you know, this is something that we didn't talk about on 400 there. I didn't hear Tom Phillips mention that Mauro was sick this week. And I just thought, oh, yeah. Is that what happened to him because he missed last week's show?
Yeah, that... Not a lot of people want to talk about it, but Mauro's got issues. It's been said that he has been battling depression his whole life, and you know, maybe also be bipolar. So it's just, yeah, it's one of those things that, although I guess a lot of people took the original explanation of he missed due to weather very seriously. And you saw what Josh Matthews and Taz said about, you know,
oh, yeah, because I retweeted
made it. In a blizzard and blah, 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 blah. And then even JBL, for some reason, decided to take Mauro to task on Twitter. And then it's like, I think a lot of people were told after that, no, we just made a cover story. There's something more going on with Mauro and Aholo, and it's really not our business either. Although I don't know if, you know, Mauro is still maybe not be the most, you know, Vince McMahon type of guy in the world. So, you know, maybe at some point this will be the catalyst to, you know, putting Tom Phillips, you know, in that position on a more permanent basis. So that is very possible. And I didn't feel like, because I know you guys didn't talk that much that much current wrestling on this week's show, although it was one of the best shows probably on the site in a long time, nonetheless. I didn't feel Phillips, Layfield, and even Otunga. I don't feel like they did a bad job.
Oh. I have been completely fine. Like, it's not that I didn't like Morrow, but it seems like they had a weird situation with four people at the desk.
Yeah, that was real. I would not complain at all if, you know, by next week that, you know, they go to two-man booths back. They go back to two-man booths, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't think they're going to do that either. They got this thing where they want three guys, and they want some, then they have one of the three. They want to strip it. They want one of the three to represent at least one minority group. So it's like, it's the way that they're doing it. I mean, in a 3-4 man booth, like Otunga can't even get good. Especially with JBL, you know, as Eric put it, you know, sucks up so much of the oxygen in the room. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if Otunga will ever even have the chance to get good at the job.
Yeah, like, and I mean, he just doesn't seem to be quick on his feet, as they call it normally. Like, he just doesn't.
And you'd think a defense attorney would be able to be, a defense attorney would be able to be.
Yeah, to think on his feet, but
would be able to eat JBL for lunch. But then there's also a seniority issue there, and he doesn't. You know, JBL is, you know, couldn't say, you know, this type of guy who can dish it out, but. Maybe he can dish it out, but he can't take it, so it's just, you know, not worth it for Otunga to, you know, hit back, or, you know, who knows.
Yeah, there could be more to it, but, yeah, it just, whatever the situation, it just doesn't come off well when you're listening to it on TV, and I just thought that the 3-man booth last week worked and the 2-man worked this week. But I honestly don't see SmackDown going under three people.
Yeah, no, I don't see it. It's three. Three's become the new standard quite a while ago.
Yeah. So, and I guess I could see, maybe having, Mauro not travel as much or something like that. So, you know, have him do more of just the, like, NXT or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, right, have now, him and Tom, because Tom Phillips is doing both, and I mean, considering that they got rid of Graves from doing both, I would imagine that, you know, that time will end for Tom Phillips also.
Yeah, I could see them doing a switch with Morrow and Tom Phillips. I mean, although it would seem kind of silly, because how accomplished of a legit sports broadcaster Morrow is to not have him on one of the main shows. But once again, they kind of want their Ken dolls. They want the puppet that just says what Vince McMahon would want them to say. And that's not going to change until, you know, Vince isn't running the shows anymore.
Right. And that's why, I guess that's the aspect of Morrow that I do like, but I mean, he has had a lot of problems recently.
Yeah, I mean, the overuse of Mamma Mia as a catchphrase, the yelling, you know, during, you know, segments that really don't, you know, require yelling. Yeah, I can't, you know, once again, I know it's one of those against the grain internet wrestling community opinions, but I'm not that big of a fan, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that his enthusiasm feels less manufactured than you know, like Michael Cole's, as far as, you know, kind of hyping matches and stuff like that. Because I guess I do think of Michael Cole still as the, as you put it, Ken doll that Vince McMahon can control. I just don't feel like he has that much of a personality. Like, he, Vince lets the Keller guy have all kinds of personality, but the lead announcer's got to be pretty generic.
Yeah, that does seem to be the standard that we've in the post, you know, Jim Ross era, that the late play-by-play guy has, you know, the lead announcer, you know, just, you know, essentially directs traffic. He goes from one segment to the next, one promo to the next. You know, let's check out what everyone's saying on Twitter. Let's go to Charlie in the back. You know,
well, and that's one of those things that I guess to get back to Mauro, like I felt like he kind of flubbed up those kind of situations a little bit more, and Cole is very smooth about doing that transition.
Cole is very smooth, yeah. Mauro has, I believe he, didn't he multiple times, like, call Elimination Chamber No Way Out, or something along those lines, and building up the show, or something else he did.
Oh, I don't know. I know that he's called Kurt Hawkins by the wrong name several times.
Oh, what did he do? Yeah, I do remember that.
Because he keeps on calling him like Chris or something like that. Like, it's the same name that he's called him by. He's like, oh my god, did I do that again? And it's just like, oh, I know that Kurt
Hawkins.
And
then he'll say that on TV. Oh, did I do that again? I'm sorry. It's like, no, don't direct attention to it. Come on, you've been a broadcaster for 25 years. You should know better than this. But no, there are issues with Mauro, and, you know, but, I mean, I think Mauro is a guy who, when he's on, he's excellent. When he's really, really, you know, in the game, he can be excellent. But, I don't know, there's just too many. Then again, you know, how many times did JR screw up Chris Benoit, Jericho and Chris Benoit?
Oh, I don't know. Was it a lot?
I think he did it a lot.
Oh.
Thankfully, not since 2007, but but he did used to do that a lot. It's just getting, you know, if you're doing, you know, hours a week, 2 hours a week at least of live TV every week, every month, every year, I guess you're going to have some flubs. Although, once again, you know, Mauro's flubs are coming, you know, on a more frequent basis. Now, who knows if he's, you know, how long he's been having, if he's been having any issues, how long they've been going on. Maybe that's part of it. But shouldn't judge the guy too harshly.
Like you said.
In general, though, I can't say I'm as big of a fan of the style as a lot of people.
Gotcha. You know, I guess that was another one that was something of a bummer topic, and you brought up the name. Was Jim Ross with his...
So horrible. Oh, yeah. And for those who don't know, his wife Jan was severely injured in a car wreck, where she was riding a Vespa scooter and was hit rear-ended by a young driver. She wasn't wearing a helmet. They spent, you know, I believe they operated and waited, you know, essentially she was on life support, you know, waiting for a miracle for swelling to go down in her brain that never was able to happen. And they, you know, as JR said, a priest came in to read her last rites, and, you know, they let her go. I mean, it's just, you know, horrible story. feel pretty awful about it. I mean, it's definitely something I've, you know, weighed on me, you know, pretty decent amount last, you know, 24 hours or so, you know, just thinking about it, just, you know, yeah, as you do.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, there's nothing that you can really say other than it's terrible, you know, like, and that really doesn't even fit the bill.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's absolutely, I mean, it's absolutely tragic. It is, you know, as Jim Ross put it in a blog before they made, before the decision was made to, you know, take her off life support, to, you know, in an instant, his life was changed forever. A lot of people's lives, you know, it's just an awful situation, and unfortunately, and yeah, you know, I'm gonna say really, you know, good for Dave Meltzer for taking people like this to task. People using this as a, because, you know, a lot of people have, you know, used, you know, a lot of wrestling personalities have, you know, reached out to, you know, at JR's Barbecue, you know, via Twitter, you know, to wish their condolences, but there were fans who were saying, quote-unquote fans, who were complaining because there weren't any tweets from the Vince McMahon account, the Triple H account, the Stephanie McMahon account. It's just like a Dave Meltzer just shutting those people down, saying, you know, people don't just live their lives online. I'm sure all these people have reached out private, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, basically, you know.
Considering that he was at NXT Dallas last year, I don't think there's really any ill will towards the parties. So I wouldn't see any reason why, they do not need to do it online.
Right, yeah, no. So, but yeah, it's, yeah, just a, yeah, it's a horrible, tragic thing. And I know you are close to the Ohio, and you're in tune with the Ohio independent scene. I know the co-promoter of the AIW out of Cleveland, Chandler Biggins, has been, you know, in the hospital for days.
Yeah, because the last I saw, and I guess I didn't even think to see if friends or whomever had updated his.
I don't know if he's necessarily out of the woods, but he's not. He's no longer in. He's in stable condition. He's still, whatever the medical issue was, he hasn't woken up yet, but he's stabilized now.
Yeah, because I knew that they said he went in for one surgery, and they thought he might need a second, but he was still in the ICU.
By next week, I'll said that he'll have gone through, you know, a third surgery. I think he's already done the second. I mean, I'm really enjoying, you know, the AIW Promoters podcast that they have out there. I think it's definitely an inspired look into, you know, the world of promoting independent wrestling and all the chaos that can surround promoting shows. So yeah, I've never been to one of their shows and never met the guy, but yeah, it's one of those like, damn, definitely someone who does a lot for independent wrestling and is definitely, you know, a very, very, seems like a really cool guy.
Yeah, he seems like a crazy person, but he loves wrestling, so that always makes things different. So, I don't know. Was there anything else worth covering in this this catch-all edition of the Stunt Granny audio?
I'm not really sure there's really much else. I mean, once again, we kind of thought about doing a rest of wrestling show with 205 Live and NXT, as you said, but those shows were really uninteresting. I thought really uninspired efforts. So, but not really newsworthy. Yeah, but you know, we had some news breaking, you know, midweek news that broke that we will talk about, and I'm about a show in place of this week's OHBA. So, you know,
yeah,
I think we can wrap this one up a wee bit early. Since,
yeah, because
you, Kevin, and Eric went long on Tuesday, or show that went up Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I guess with both of those shows, it was just like, okay, we're kind of, you know, they only have like one match from 205 Live on the WrestleMania card, and they're building towards that. And, you know, they kind of just shuffled on along the storylines in NXT too, but nothing, again, spectacular. Like, I mean, you're not going to get anything until NXT TakeOver Orlando.
Yeah, no. You're not. I mean, it's a solid paint by numbers, you know, kind of old style one hour wrestling show, and it's still fine, but just not a lot to talk about. Maybe next week we'll talk about it in the last, you know, month or two of NXT television in depth, and, you know, preview TakeOver.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't even think about that.
You and Jeremy, every year, you do your match by match.
Well, we combined last year to be a little lazy.
Yeah.
Which I think worked out a little bit better. It was a little bit easier to record in that manner. So, yeah, I guess I'll have to start planning that with Mr. Mays there. So, Opa may be on hiatus for longer than a couple of weeks here. But, yeah, I mean, I guess we're signing off. That's fine by me. I'm at Frango11. That's at Chris Calamita. Brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you happen to find us. There was a We Watch stuff that got posted yesterday with Jeremy and Shahid talking about all the CW stuff, TV shows, superhero stuff, and a couple of movie awards, or not awards, but a couple of movies too. So, yeah, go ahead and tune into any of those. Everybody, have a good night.
Later.